It's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care and Generator Supercenter.
Thank you, Craig. Let's talk about crime. Something that came up on this very program recently was the identical twins who would commit crimes and then use their identical twinness as their immediate get out of jail free, the reasonable doubt card. Genius. That they always played. And we wondered whether or not George asked the very, it's a question a child might ask, but it's not a childlike question. It's a very smart question.
I guess.
Was, do identical twins have identical fingerprints? And we debated about that, and we found that AI said that no, they don't. Well, P1 Nick, who's our science-minded P1, I always love his input because he's very, very, very smart. He's Greek. You know, the Greeks are very smart.
Mm-hmm.
They're my favorite culture of all time. I just want you to know that.
Do they produce your favorite sandwich of all time?
The Greek sandwich?
The gyro sandwich?
The what?
Gyro.
Is it hero or gyro?
I thought it was gyro.
Or gyro.
Or gyro.
Or gyro.
Like anyone can even know.
However you pronounce it, it's a good sandwich.
It is a good sandwich because they have the pita.
Mm-hmm.
And the pita is a better bread for sandwich making.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's enclosed on one side.
So anyway.
I have a pita for lunch probably two or three times a week.
Was that a drop or did you just say
it's
that?
About to be.
I don't know.
My sandwich just fell apart.
Will you please make that your tombstone epigraph or whatever it's called? What do you call it on the tombstone?
Epitaph.
Epitaph. There you go.
Epitaph. Had a pita for lunch at least two or three times a week.
Yeah. I want that to be what your whole life is just known for.
I'll put it was around cattle daily, if you want me to.
Yeah. You will not do that. Would your family honor that request?
Maybe.
As we talked recently of your family honoring your request.
That's this week's The Musers, the podcast.
That's
if you would
right.
like to listen to that, it's out now. And we talk about how we want our families to remember us after we're gone.
Including the scenario that you made me tell again of that ridiculous scene that I, at one time in my life, I wanted that to
it's
be my
your
funeral.
Wish.
That my body would be animated like a marionette and I would walk myself down the aisle of my own funeral and then go up to the front and do the Fosbury flop into my coffin. There's a sports reference for anyone.
Yeah, it's great.
So he was the first guy to figure out how to jump over the high bar, the pole vaulting bar.
Dick Fosbury.
At least using that technique, yeah. Anyway, what does Nick say?
Okay, you tell me when in this do you realize that Nick is smarter than we are. Subject line, epigenetic divergence
right
of DNA sequencing in older identical twins. Musers, random mutation expression plus divergence of methylation rate due to environmental stimulus response leads to gene divergence as the twins age to the point where a crime lab could identify divergence in gene sequencing as the identical twins age. Not sure what the inflection point is from the almost identical sequencing at birth until the divergence is great enough to identify the individual twin, but I would bet by 30, the tiny mutation divergence from pure methylation rate randomness would lead to enough changes to notice. Yeah, he's thinking on a
why don't you just level. Return, just, I like gyro sandwiches.
Yeah, just say we make good sandwiches.
I have a pita for lunch probably two or three times a week.
Okay. Craig, you just told us that.
As you just said.
How did you not realize that you had just told us that?
Tyler already turned it around and made it a drop. It's impressive.
So, yeah, he says basically at 30 is around the time when, and he's guessing at the inflection point, but there is some point to where there's enough difference that you can tell a difference.
Okay.
It's a difference that makes a difference, in other words.
Good thing I had that brilliant question.
Yeah,
you did. It takes someone brilliant to answer it.
You sure as hell did, George.
I think you dismissed me. Same.
Okay.
Please stop talking.
I didn't have the tone of voice. No, I didn't. All right, here
I'm just hitting you with your own
what?
With your own bit of just totally reworking conversations from the past.
I don't. I report you guys what y'all say to me very accurately.
Oh my gosh.
And y'all are so arrogant and dismissive of me when I make a sports point that it hurts me. So of course I remember it. Yeah. Oh God, y'all are such sports bullies to me.
Gordon! You can't replace Tony Romo with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott hadn't been the Cowboys quarterback
that's
for 12 years,
one.
So then how can he be one?
And we did shout you down a little bit on that one, but that's like the only one.
We did shout you down a little bit there, pal. Well, also, Eddie Belfour, that was a shout down.
Stop bringing that up.
That was a shout, but just admit it was a shout down. At the time, it was a shout down.
Well, that was before the cough syrup game. We were accurate on that. We were like
I was saying, that I was seeing signs that a cough syrup game is possible, and you were like, "There will never be a cough syrup game here." Anyway, these are our criminals of the non-week. I don't want to honor them, but I don't know how to say it. This, I think it was a couple too. They ran a funeral home and they didn't treat people's remains kindly. And they had this wheels-off little 2,500-square-foot funeral home that they told people that they had either cremated or prepared someone for burial, and instead they would just stack them up, stack them deep, sell them cheap. And when they described in this story, when the authorities went to this place, and looking in there and see them stacked so high, even in the bathroom, you can't even get doors open. And when the bags would leak, they'd just put a Homer bucket up under it to catch the liquefaction of the bodies.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Gross.
They said that they found a bone grinder, and then right next to the bone grinder was a bunch of bags of Quikrete. And they think that's what they were giving the families. Here are your ashes. Just don't mix with water or it'll be hard to get out of the container. And then they use the money that they got from these grieving families to take luxury vacations, buy themselves nice cars. And of course, they had plenty of time to take the vacation because they did none of the work associated with the funeral home.
That's awful.
And this was in Colorado. So they're facing up to 50 years in prison. But
he chose the story because it's very ghoulish, and he got to use the term Quikrete, which he loves to.
Yeah.
Who loves to use
that
term?
Just throw some Quikrete in there and see what happens.
You ever use Quikrete?
Oh, yeah. Clearcrete?
It'll heat up on you, too. It's like part of that process. I think it gets real warm real quick. But, yes, they would hand people boxes with, here are the beloved ashes.
So sorry.
Ignore the branding on it that says sets in 1 hour.
They didn't leave the branding on it.
They didn't. Why are you laughing at that? Don't laugh.
I'm coughing.
It's very serious. So they're facing up to 50 years. And they should, right? Because we're talking hundreds of bodies.
Ugh.
And each one of those people, when they find out how their loved one was, they even exhumed one of the graves of, it was like this veteran, this World War II veteran or somebody that they were supposed to bury. And they opened it up and it was the body of some younger woman, like middle-aged woman, who was just like duct taped up. They wouldn't even bury the right bodies in graves.
Terrible.
Yeah. They just didn't care about nothing. And we asked the question, are all people in the mortuary business a little bit off? Even the ones who do the right thing?
I think we heard from a P1 who ran a funeral home and maybe agreed that he was even a little wheels off.
Do you have to be in that business?
I don't know, but it's such an honorable profession. You know, to do, like that's something that if someone feels that calling to do that business or they get in that business, it's a very important business. and you want to have people that you really, really trust. That and doctors should be the most squared away people that we should have. Mm-hmm. Dentists, we get a little wide when it comes to dentists. There's, I don't know what it is about dentists that are so strange, but they are. They're just odd. And then, can apes pretend? For some reason, we decided we needed to do a study to see if apes can pretend.
I'm going to guess yes.
Yeah.
Because I see them playing tricks on each other.
Yeah, I've seen those videos, and I watched a documentary called Lancelot Link one time, and they were in a pretend band, and they put on hats.
Okay, you know that's not real. So the videos that you're seeing, Craig, are they really playing tricks on each other, or are they just doing something that kind of looks like tricks to us, and that's why the video gets out there and goes viral for us?
I've seen one where an ape pretends to hand a banana to another ape, and then when the other ape realizes the hand is empty, the ape slaps the other ape.
Uh-oh.
Will you send me that one?
George is watching the Gorilla Channel.
The way you hit that other gorilla
was good.
That was good.
Why are gorillas and apes so funny?
I don't know.
Well, they were trying to figure out if apes have imagination, because that's a real demarcation between humans and other animals, is that we have this ability to pretend. And even children, you know, as young as two can start pretending, and will pretend often. And our creativity is what makes us different. So they tried to do this, and they determined that some apes do have the ability to pretend.
Like the one I watched in that video.
I don't know that that one was doing it. But they did this with an ape pretending it was having a tea party. Like, how does an ape know what a tea party is?
Send me that video. I want to see that.
It had a little fake cup in its hand and had its pinky pointed up as it's sipping tea out of the teacup. Can I do an aside here?
Sure.
Teacups are one of the worst deals we've ever had.
I agree.
Yeah.
Who ever thought that was a good design?
Very uncomfortable to drink out of.
In the small, few times,
too fragile.
In the few times that I've ever held a teacup, the part where your finger's supposed to go through is way too small, so you can really only pinch there.
Right.
You can't put a finger through it at all. And so then that's uncomfortable. And then it's way too small, and you get shake hand because there's not enough weight to really hold it down. It's a horrible design.
Yeah, it's one of the worst deals we've ever had.
Yeah, as the father of a current four-year-old, I've been invited to so many tea parties lately.
A lot of
lately.
Tea parties on your schedule these days.
I have several a week, and same thing. They're so uncomfortable, those little teacups.
And just sitting around having tea seems weird, and apologies to all of our British P1s, but there's a reason why we got away from you guys.
Yes.
That was broke
tea
off.
Tea was one of the reasons.
There's a reason why we're splitters.
That's why we threw it in the harbor. So we wouldn't have to use teacups.
I think there were more reasons for the Boston Tea Party than that. It wasn't just a bunch of colonists trying to get out of using teacups.
Stop tea parties.
Why are little girls drawn to tea parties?
I don't know,
because
we don't have them as adults.
Because we encourage it. I think we encourage it with them, and they have the little toys, and here, let's have a tea party.
You're right, because we don't. How would they hear about tea parties if it wasn't us telling them, hey, do you want to have a tea party?
Right.
And so why are adults always trying to force something that is not practical?
Why don't we force something else on them that's more current, like a cannabis party or something like that?
Yeah, a gummy party.
Yeah.
Hey, let's pretend like we're doing gummies, and let's pick out our fake strains that we want to, you know, what kind of mood are you in? You want?
These are daddy's special gummies over here.
You have a pretend 10 milligram, and I'll have a pretend 20 milligram.
Yeah, how much? Tea party's still a big deal. Well, what do boys typically have? In the gendered space of...
What kind of party?
Yeah, when you sit down with a boy kid.
I guess the first thing we always throw at it is, little cars and...
Yeah, but you don't have a car party.
Hot Wheels.
What kind of party are you doing with
that?
I don't
party
know if you promote a party with them as much as... Yeah, that's the first thing it seems is some little Hot Wheels thing.
Is it like a boxing match or a wrestling match or is it...
Toy soldiers, maybe? Like G.I. Joes and whatnot?
Do you want to play toys? You want a toy soldier party?
Maybe they don't have a party equivalent.
Coffee party?
I don't think there is a party. No.
Pretend beer party?
And plus, why is it a tea party with the little girl? Why isn't it just us having tea? Because a lot of times they're not. You're not. Sometimes you're setting up the stuffed animals to be additional cast members,
right?
Yeah.
But a lot of times, just two people. But you're still calling it a party.
I think because party is such a buzzword for a 4 year old.
Yeah.
They're like all in.
Because like when we were single and had apartments and all this, and we'd invite the other one over, it was, you know, hey, do you want to have a beer party, just you and me? No, we didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know. It's just weird.
It's all messed up. It's one of the worst deals we've ever had.
It's all messed up, and we really need to do away with life. That's the problem.
Do away with life?
Yeah, because we don't have it right. We're having too many fake parties that aren't applicable.